Well, as of today, under right to disconnect laws, employees of companies with 15 or more staff will have the right to refuse contact from their workplace outside of working hours. So think calls, text messages, emails, WhatsApps, whatever it is. They will refuse contact. They have the right to anyway, unless that refusal is unreasonable. It sounds simple until it starts to unravel. Now, the obvious question that springs to mind is, what is unreasonable? What is the definition of unreasonable? And who decides what that is? So the text or the call might be a change to your roster. Someone's called in sick. Change of location for tomorrow's site visit, whatever it is. It could be something that you need to know about, but if it's an out-of-hours request just to do something you could do in normal working hours, that's a different story. And to be honest, I'm largely supportive of the idea of right to disconnect. It's a shame it's come to this. It's a shame we can't just rely on common sense and employee-to-employer relations to deliver that common sense. And I can just see there will be activists, there will be people taking the mickey. And I know that small business and medium business are concerned about it. But ultimately, it wasn't that long ago when you clocked off at 5 o'clock, there was no way to contact an employee except the landline at their home. No emails, no text messages, no mobile phones. And I think in this day and age, there are far too many workplaces that exploit their employees and push them into doing work overtime that is not paid. And I don't think that's okay. Well, joining me to talk this through is Natasha Hawker. She's the Managing Director of Employee Matters. She's on the line. Natasha, g'day.
Good afternoon.
I like the idea. I'm concerned about the implementation of it. Whose interpretation of what is reasonable is going to count, the employee or the employer?
Well, they have put some guidelines around this for us. So, you know, it's the view is a couple of tests they're going to run here is what's the reason for the contact and was that reasonable? How was that contact made? What's the level of disruption? And, you know, is that employee appropriately compensated for the contact? So, for example, if you've got a really highly well-paid person and this is just part of their everyday job, then that's not going to be an issue. But, you know, in other cases where you've got more likely an award employee or a more junior employee where maybe it's because the boss has got into a bad habit of just contacting people when it suits, because I know I'm a boss, I run a business, and I'm working on the weekend, but I'll send them a message saying, you don't need to respond to this, it's just I'm working on this now.
But that's fine, as long as they get paid for the work they do.
Exactly, yeah.
But what I don't understand is, you're talking about what is reasonable, right? And it might be really, really important for the survival of the business or the boss.
Yeah.
But it's not important for the employee.
So here's an example of what that would look like, Chris. I think you gave one in your introduction about someone being off sick. Another one might be, say, for example, the alarm's going off in the factory and the boss happens to be out of town for the weekend and he needs someone to go and meet with security to get that organised and turned off. That would be a reasonable reason. But if you've got somebody who is, because of their own inability or their own dysfunction, has not project managed something right and then is applying enormous pressure to one of their junior team members to get online at 9, 10 o'clock at night and finish an assignment that could have been done a couple of weeks ago, then that would be deemed to be unreasonable. So we're going to see as this plays out what court cases come up and what case law comes out of this as to what is actually reasonable. And you said it at the beginning, you know, it's common sense. But I think sometimes we don't have a lot of common sense. And unfortunately, if everyone did the right thing, then we wouldn't have a need for these kinds of laws.
Sure, but, you know, this is a human society. Not everyone's going to do the right thing, right? Because, you know, businesses who have got equity partners or investors from overseas and things change all of a sudden, that person comes in really late notice, the project needs all hands on deck, and people need to work at, I don't know, 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night. Is that reasonable, even though it was out of the control of the employer?
I think what's really key here, Chris, is that, and this is what the work is that businesses need to do, we need to establish for each business what's right. You know, there are some organisations where that's the way we do things around here. And as long as that's agreed and everyone's happy to play by those laws and job descriptions and the employment contract and the communications support that and the wages, then you can work around that. But I think it's really, really key that we have those conversations up front. And it may even be a case of, at this organisation, this is how we work. But there may be rarely occasions when this happens, and we would expect everyone to have all hands on deck. But don't forget that that employee still would have that right in that instance to go, actually, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, I'm not.
Now, that's going to be the challenge, you know, because there's a lot of unpaid labour happening here as well. In some instances.
I tell you where you're going to see a lot of this, Natasha, law firms, lots and lots.
Yes, and I think the other one's tech firms as well, you know, where I think it's just become cultural. And I think there's a whole generational change here, because I tell you what, the millennials are very comfortable. There was a survey done of 1,000 employees by Robert Half, and that's a large recruitment agency, and 87% of people are getting contacted outside hours. But 75% of millennials are very comfortable to ignore, where at the least comfortable is Gen X, where only 64% of them were pushing back. And they're often the bosses. So they're going to be like, hang on a minute, in my day, this is how we used to do things.
Yeah,
and these guys? And if you discriminate, you're going to be in trouble.
Yeah, sure. But the millennials, they might say, well, we're not going to do it. But guess what? When the promotion comes up, they won't be in line for it.
Well, that's the thing, you know, if they've exercised their workplace right, and this might be the downstream impact, they could raise a complaint that you discriminated against me on the basis I exercised that right. That's a general protections claim, and that can run into thousands and thousands of dollars if they're able to prove that they were discriminated against because they took up that workplace right. So, yes, I think there's more to come here.
Good on you, Natasha. Really appreciate you coming on.
My pleasure.
That's
Thanks,
Natasha Chris. Hawker. She's the Managing Director of Employee Matters.